Connor, are you there?
I am, Jake. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. So,
good to hear.
I hope you're having a great day. I tried to have the cops theme, the bad boys music cued for you, but I didn't have time. I got that caller.
Indeed.
So, but that goes with the theme of what you're discussing today in the Boyack Review, and that's bad cops.
Well, you know, and I've been known in the past to knock cops, and there are a lot of crooked cops. I think the problem isn't so much the actual individuals, though, as it is the system that they're employed to enforce and uphold. And I didn't want to talk so much about bad cops as I did the hypocrisy that's inherent in the law enforcement system in the community. Particularly, I read an article in the Salt Lake Tribune a couple days ago, and it's the latest example of so many of these cases that happens, I'm sure, on a daily basis, where police officers who are charged with upholding and enforcing the law break the law in supposedly an effort to do that. And so that's where the hypocrisy comes in. This article in the Tribune was talking about in Salt Lake City that police had gone undercover in what's called the Vice Unit, which apparently has now or will soon be disbanded. Vice, of course, meaning the immoral, you know, acts of prostitution and drugs and things of that nature. And so this Vice Squad is charged with going undercover to supposedly investigate and, you know, penalize and arrest those who are engaging in these criminalized acts. So the article specifically talks about how they had gone undercover in prostitution stings, in illegal, you know, massage stings, to where, you know, naked massage and things were given. The article goes into a bit more detail probably than I'm okay regurgitating on the radio.
Well, you know, what's interesting is actually our the Libertarian Party's chairman before me, and our current he's our current treasurer, Andy McCullough, who is running for attorney general, actually is involved in this. He's actually defending. He's a big part of why all this is getting play, this exact same thing. I thought you were going to bring up the former St. George police officers that were charged in local pharmacy burglaries.
Yeah, I heard about that.
But it's like, it's rampant. It's not just one. And these are both these are like in the last 2 days these stories coming out.
Well, you know, and it's a sustained occurrence that's happening. So in this case, you know, why is it that these police officers who are supposedly there to enforce the law against illegal massages or prostitution, they are themselves engaging in the very act that they are supposed to be penalizing and arresting people for engaging in?
Yeah, you're talking about basically like entrapment or these like operations.
Why is it that merely wearing a uniform, a costume, if you will, why is it that having a badge and the sanction of the government, how in the world does that exempt a person from obeying the very law that they are swearing to uphold and enforce? It goes so far in the article to explain the alleged penalties that the officers were giving. Now, mind you, if they catch people in the act of these, you know, illegal massages or prostitution or what have you, of course, you know, Joe Schmo, Joe Citizen, he gets thrown in jail. There's no mercy. They throw the book at him. He was caught in the act. It's against the law. You're going to jail. You pay a fine, et cetera, et cetera. And yet when these police officers, not only were they just there to witness other people perhaps engaging in these acts, they were themselves engaging in the acts. They were, in fact, there was a civilian review board in Salt Lake City which said that, you know, these police officers were in the wrong, that their hands were going in places that they shouldn't, and they were engaging in acts that were not necessary to witness a crime and arrest the individual. And so, of course, you would think, well, if the law is equitable and just, if the system is fair and treats people as criminals if they violate this law, regardless of who they are, what their societal status is, or what have you, then the police officers who went beyond the line of duty, if you will, that they should be penalized to the same extent that an average citizen would. But that's not the case. All that happened was that, you know, the guy in charge was given a 60-hour suspension. So, you know, he takes the week off. Probably paid suspension, the article doesn't say. Some of the detectives received written reprimands or were given orders to undergo training on proper procedures. And so really this shows the inherent hypocrisy in the law enforcement system. And that is that many times, not only with these vices, but, you know, you look at like tasers, for example, or these police officers who are, you know, violating other people's rights or, you know, going against the Fourth Amendment, improperly searching and sieging, what have you. When this happens, because the very person who has committed the criminal act or violated the law is a police officer himself, they are almost in every single case, unless it's a blatant act like this St. George one with going in and robbing a company for no, you know, apparent police-oriented business. It was his own personal intent to steal these things. In every other case, of course, where it's police business, they are exempted from the penalties. They are given proverbial slaps on the wrist. They are allowed to walk free, while Joe Citizen, who engages in similar acts for his own personal pleasure, has the book thrown at him. I think that shows, and there's many other cases, of course. I mean,
well, yeah, because it's, I mean, it's not just prostitution in terms of these stings, right? Like drugs is like, I've had Officer James Mooney from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition on this show, and he was a former undercover guy doing these illegal things and provoking citizens into doing it so they would bust. I mean, it's just, it seems so like totally morally wrong, and yet it happens every single day.
It does, and it's not a Utah thing, of course. I mean, this is, I assume, a worldwide thing, but even just here in America, it is a national thing. You look at how often the CIA has engaged in drug running, drug trafficking.
Right.
Time and time and time again, they have supplied weapons to dictators.
Or how our military is guarding all the poppy fields in Afghanistan.
Right, right. You know, the FBI, you could rattle off probably every federal agency and find something. The FBI, there was a great article written last fall by Glenn Greenwald, constitutional attorney, talking about in how many cases the FBI has planted evidence, has cultivated a would-be terrorist, targeted these individuals of Arabian descent, of Middle Eastern descent, that have kind of, you know, these nascent anti-American views, and they give the person money, they give them plans, they encourage them to, of course, undercover, you know, target some government installation or facility or building, and then they catch the person last minute and say, we thwarted this attack, look how great the FBI is, we stopped this terrorist attack, when they fail to mention that they themselves were the ones who were engaging in terrorism, who were engaging in conspiracy, who were planting evidence and supplying money and other resources to encourage this individual, who otherwise wouldn't have done a thing, to go ahead and commit a terrorist act. Why is it that we tolerate a quote-unquote law enforcement system that deviates from the law so many times, whether for troublesome things like terrorism or even innocuous things like speeding, right? Why is it okay for a police officer to speed but not a citizen? Why is it okay when,
right,
you know, the police officer trying to catch you for going 90 goes 100 himself on the freeway? If that is reckless driving, is it okay for the police officer to engage in it himself, or are there other methods that can be done to, you know, try and stop that individual and find him when he gets off or what have you?
You know, this is such a good topic because, you know, I'm not an anarchist. There's a lot of people out there that are anarchists, that are libertarian, and that's fine. I don't see it actually feasible. But I do want a small government. But I do think that, like, law enforcement, it is a necessary thing. It is. They are good guys. Like, my brother and my dad both had careers in law enforcement. So I'm sympathetic, but it's like it's a special job, and they should be held to this way higher standard. And I'm glad that there was a citizen review board for the Salt Lake police, but where is the citizens review board for the Ogden police when they shot that poor guy in that no-knock raid and he was totally innocent and they didn't even tell him to drop his weapon?
Mm-hmm.
Scary stuff. All right, guys, come on back. We're in the middle of the Boyack Review. Really great topic.
The Voice of Utah, AM 630 K-Talk.
K-Talk.com.
Number one for the most live, local, two-way talk.
Hello, I love you, won't you tell me your name? Hello.
All right, guys, welcome back. Mental Self Defense Radio in the middle of the Boyack Review. It is a Tuesday after 2:30, so we've got Connor Boyack on the line, and he today is talking about kind of the hypocritical way in which law enforcement can get away with doing these crimes, like stings and whatnot. So you were bringing up this local prostitution thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, we've got local issues like that. We've got national issues as well. This I see it as a really systemic thing, and I'm willing to concede that in some cases it may be necessary, you know, to infiltrate some conspiratorial operation of actual terrorists trying to, you know, attack the government or people engaging in some sort of criminal act. But I think the fact that so much of this happens, that it's this systemic thing where police officers are shielded from criminal liability for violating the very law that they're trying to enforce, I think a lot of it boils from the fact that so much of our legal system has been built up not upon laws that are malum in se, right? Not upon laws that are readily evident that someone's life, liberty, or property has been violated, that an actual natural, pre-existing, apparent, self-evident law has been violated. So much of the legal code, so much of the system of government that we now live in is malum prohibitum, where things are not criminalized because they are self-evidently wrong, because someone's rights are being violated, but because some fiat dictate of a legislative body or bureaucratic institution or executive officer, because their will, their mandate has been disregarded or violated, that is supposedly somehow now a criminal act, right? So consenting adults, I oppose prostitution. I think it's horrible. I think it's wrong. But if a guy wants to pay a woman to have sex, what right do I have to beat him upside the head for doing it? If it's a consensual thing, I object to it.
And
I think it's wrong.
That's not the way to stop it anyway. I mean, the way to stop it is what you just did. When you right now exercise your First Amendment right to say, you know, I think that is wrong. Here, let me lay out the reasons why. You could get it for free. One. Two, you could get a disease. Three, you know, I mean, X, Y. That's the way you stop things, not with some guy dressing up like a John and busting prostitutes.
Well, and I think the results that we're seeing here with this article and many others like it show the absurdity of the system that's been erected upon these malum prohibitum laws. So what I mean by that is we have now a legal system that criminalizes all sorts of behavior that is not self-evidently wrong, that no one's rights are being violated, that consenting adults are, you know, in Utah, for example, it's against the law to engage in a boxing match where there's biting. And, you know, we've talked about the braiding someone's hair without a license, or, you know, even something as horrible as, you know, paid consensual sex or giving marijuana from one consenting adult to another. These things are not self-evidently wrong. They are not malum in se. They are, therefore, malum prohibitum. They are against the law. They are criminalized because some government body has said so. And so then what happens is that to investigate and to enforce the violations against these malum prohibitum laws, and many times it requires that the police themselves engage in these acts, that they go undercover to try and observe people, consensual people, engaging in things outside of public view. And so then you condone a system in which your law enforcement officials are participating in the violation of the very law that they are enforcing. Now, of course, police aren't going around murdering people to investigate, you know, murders and try and bring people to justice for murdering someone.
Well, we hope not.
We hope not, at least. So these malum in se crimes can be independently investigated, and I'm sure in almost every case, if not all, malum in se crimes can be observed, can be enforced, can be investigated, prosecuted. These malum prohibitum crimes, however, in many cases, encourage police officers to engage in the acts. And why? Because the police officers recognize, I think, inherently, that they are not violating anyone's rights, that nothing really is horrible about, you know, playing around and touching a naked masseuse at one of these things. It may be against the law, but hey, they're shielded from any criminal liability of their actions, and therefore they can engage in this with another consensual adult because they're not going to be penalized. And they do it probably subconsciously and accept that fact because it is not a violation of anyone's rights. It is not a malum in se. And so because it is malum prohibitum, they feel justified in breaking the law that they have been employed by the government to enforce. And I think that's hypocritical. I think we tolerate a system in which one group of citizens is punished at times extremely severely for engaging in a consensual act with another adult that is malum prohibitum. whereas another group of citizens employed by the very government that has passed the law are shielded from any participation or any criminal liability for participation in that act. I think that is wrong. I think we need an equitable, fair legal system that recognizes that only the true violations of someone's rights should be enforced. We need to dismantle almost the entire system that is based upon malum probatum laws, and then our law enforcement officials can be treated the same as citizens, can uphold and enforce the same laws that you or I are subject to, and rightly so. It is because of this flawed legal code that we've allowed to be established that we have this double standard where police are exempt from the laws that you and I could be thrown in jail for violating.
Well, and this also speaks to kind of not only the moral issues, but even the kind of the fiscal issues. How much of this money, like just I'm thinking of the war on drugs, is just wasted, is just a disaster waste. It doesn't do anything. There's no real change. Obviously, the war on drugs hasn't changed. Prostitution's not going anywhere. They call it the world's oldest profession. It doesn't mean that it's anybody's condoning it. It's just that this is not the way to go about solving these problems, especially, you know, government, in many cases, rightfully so, is not trusted because they've screwed us over and lied to us so many different ways and so many different times, and they don't deserve our trust. But then they go and actually go out of their way to do stuff like this. No wonder nobody has any trust or faith in the authorities, quote unquote.
Yeah, well, I mean, what's that quote? It says, you know, I can't see what you're saying over what I hear you, or you know. I can't trust what you're saying because of what I hear.
What I see you doing or whatever.
Yeah, it's just that, you know, for example, children recognize when their parents are setting a double standard,
yeah,
right? That
yeah.
They're requiring them to do something that they themselves are not doing. Oh, but you have to do it because I said so.
Yeah, a 4-year-old can see that.
Right, and that breeds, you know, distrust and contempt, frustration, you know, opposition. And I think we have the same thing in the government today where we have this nanny state, this paternalistic government that says you have to do this because I said so, and then we recognize that the government itself, whether the state or the federal government, is in many cases engaging in the various and specific things that it tells us we cannot engage in, otherwise we'll be prosecuted and thrown in jail. And I think you raise a good point that we recognize that double standard, that is flawed. A 4-year-old, as you say, can easily recognize that if it's wrong for us to do, it should be wrong for everyone to do.
Yeah, I mean, it's so frustrating. And it's funny because I thought you were going to talk about these cops that were going around knocking over the pharmacies, and you were bringing up the one about the prostitution. It's so rampant. And again, like that guy who shot on that no-knock raid, you're talking about hypocrisy. That's cold-blooded murder. I mean, somebody's got to say it. That guy shot this guy. He was innocent, first of all, cowering in his closet, holding a golf club because he thought somebody was breaking into his house, which they were. And they didn't tell him to drop it. They didn't say anything. They just pap, 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 killed him.
Right. And just for the, you know, listener's benefit, that's not this recent case with Matthew David Stewart. This is the one a year previous.
Yes,
with the same drug unit in the Ogden-Weber narcotics drug unit or whatever they're called. But you're exactly right. Why is it that the sanction of government, the mere fact that they're wearing a badge, justifies them to kill an innocent individual who was not given any warning, who was peaceably living, not harming anyone, you know, holds a golf club in self-defense, as you or I likely would have done, just scared out of our minds with, you know, a bunch of yelling guys invading our home.
Yeah.
Why is there a double standard? Why is there not, criminal liability for police officers? In fact, you know, I'm working on this book that I have coming out in November, Latter-day Responsibility.
Yes.
And one of the chapters, I talk about self-defense, the importance, the right, and the responsibility of self-defense. And in one of the sections, I talk about how as a result of people abdicating their self-defense, they've essentially delegated to these government institutions like police officers. And so then I detail some of these instances in which police officers have engaged in significant abuse. This is a very common thing that happens. And so why is it then that we've allowed a system in which criminal liability exists for you or I, but not the police officers? And
This is something that I think is important, is these citizens review boards, right? Because internal affairs, that doesn't cut it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the internal affairs is kind of what, you know, when these guys are convicted of crimes or they do these egregious things like the examples you have in your new book, they don't, the internal affairs, they're being policed or judged
by
their
themselves.
Peers.
Right, exactly. That's like asking, you know, Enron to investigate itself or, you know, what have you. It's ridiculous. And in fact, in the book, I go through many states and review the laws that they have on the books. In fact, Mitch Vilos, he writes a bunch of pro Second Amendment and gun books, and he has a book where he goes state by state and shows a lot of these laws that exist, where in many states, if not most, they completely shield from any criminal liability their police officers from doing acts while in the line of duty, of course, that you or I would be hauled off to jail for. And, you know, in some sense, I think it's understandable, right? Because what person would want to become a police officer if they realize that if they make a mistake and kill someone, they're going to go to jail, right? You're engaging in an activity that is inherently highly dangerous,
yes,
highly emotionally charged. You can make a mistake. Who would want to do that? But I think simply leaving it the way it is extremely dangerous to our liberties, because we, by shielding them from the consequences of their actions, we therefore encourage and eventually justify deviations from what they in fact should be doing, where they're getting these written reprimands and they're getting demoted or they're getting paid suspension or what have you, whereas you or I are being hauled off to jail, fined significantly, sued in court. The government does not allow you or I to sue it when it violates our rights. Again, in many states, and if not most, this is the case where there is complete immunity for government agents when in the line of duty engaging in what otherwise would be a criminal act.
Yeah, it's really, really scary. And not to necessarily change subjects, but I, you know, you kind of mentioned your book. You said that I think you said on Facebook that you're pretty much done with the draft done, and now it's kind of the sculpture part where you trim it down or whatever.
Yeah, I'm excited to finally be at this point. So the last book came out in December, and that was Latter Day Liberty, and this one's kind of the sequel, Latter Day Responsibility. You can find out a little bit about it at latterdayresponsibility.com, and it's slated to be out in November. The guy's actually a socialist, but he was exactly right in this quote, George Bernard Shaw, where he said, "Liberty means responsibility. That's why most men dread it."
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's spot on. And so in the first book, we talk all about liberty and government and what, you know, government should and should not do. In the second book, I say, look, if all we focus on is what liberty is and what government should and should not do, it's all going to reside in theory. It's not ever going to become practical reality. We need to become a responsible people, because only by becoming responsible will we be able to have liberty. It is because we have become so irresponsible and not taking care of ourselves and one another that the state, the government, has felt empowered and authorized and encouraged even by many people to become paternalistic, this nanny state, this welfare state. And so we need to return to our responsibilities if we are going to then reclaim our liberty. And so that's the focus of the second book. Just finished writing it. I'm just in editing for the next month until I hit my deadline, but that should be out in November with some weeks to spare for Christmas gifts. So I'll probably talk more about it as the months go on, but kind of exciting to hit that milestone.
Yeah, that's awesome. Congratulations, and also any new curmudgeonly or controversial billboards going on?
None yet. We've got some ideas that are very in the infancy of their planning stages, and so you may yet be seeing some more, but we'll see. As people want to donate to them, we'll probably do more. But yeah, the last one, in fact, the Warlike People billboard came down just about a week ago. It was up for about 5 weeks. We got some great traffic and hope to be doing more in the future.
Love it, man. I mean, you really are taking responsibility for liberty. I love it. Connor Boyack, the Boyack Review, guys.